everyone. It's West Virginia Talk with James and Jerry. I'm James.
And I'm Jerry.
And we're going to talk about the West Virginia football spring game that was played over the weekend. It's the Gold and Blue game. And to help us dissect what we saw over the weekend, we have a special guest. He has his own YouTube channel. It is Gold and Blue Dude. Adding new vids all the time, very knowledgeable, hates Texas, and probably currently wearing sunglasses. Am I right?
That is correct, actually. Yes.
Gold and Blue Dude. Okay, so not sure if you got to see the spring game. I know where you live. I wasn't sure if you were able to pick that up or if you listened to it. Did you watch
it? I wasn't able to watch it live, but I saw some videos on YouTube that they were able to catch it. So I got most of it.
Sweet. Okay. All right. So let's break this down by positions here. Let's talk about the quarterbacks. Now, I think it's assumed, it's probably almost fact, written in stone, JT Daniels will be the starter September 1st in the backyard brawl. But the big question going into the spring game was, who was going to back him up? Was it going to be, you know, the freshman phenom, Nico Marquial? Was it going to be Garrett Green, who we saw some action last year, or was it going to be Goose Crowder, who we really didn't know much about? So watching the clips you watched, what did you think of the other three QBs we have?
Well, I really like our quarterback room, first off. But the guy that really popped off the screen as being ready for backing up JT Daniels would be Will Crowder. You know, most of us have kind of not really forgotten about his name, but just not really thought about him much because he hasn't been used much. And I think he showed off his arm in that spring game. He looked really, really good. It seemed like he read the defense very well and made some good decisions. And the big thing that he did that's been missing is the deep ball. It looks like Will Crowder can throw the deep ball, and that's amazing. Now, for Nico Marquial, he did sort of look like a freshman, but the game will slow down for him. He's still adjusting from the high school speed to the college speed. That's something a lot of people don't realize. There's a different speed from high school to college and then from college to the NFL. So he just has to let the speed of the game slow down for him. I'm sure that will too. So, and then there's Garrett Green. He came out a little bit shaky, but once he got his feet underneath him, it looked like he started to make some good decisions. I think his second half performance was really good.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. I've been a huge fan of Goose's, and I've been telling people that I thought that even if JT Daniels didn't come, that Goose was probably going to be our starter. And it looked on the TV screen, it looked great. But when I started dissecting the stats, that's where I kind of got shocked, because Goose really performed well with the gold team, and the gold team was facing our second string defense.
Yeah.
The quarterback that did the best against the first string defense, believe it or not, was Garrett Green.
That's right. That is correct.
I'm sorry. I can't help it, man. I don't think he's that good.
I don't either.
Sorry.
Well,
sorry.
I'm sitting there, and he made a lot of inaccurate passes early. And, of course, he has the interception. Goose, when you're watching him, he made almost every pass where it needed to be. He had the one overthrow. I think it was like a swing pass. And then he threw two away to keep when he was under pressure. But then I wasn't paying attention to who he was playing. I didn't realize that he was throwing it against the second string.
Well, I'm going to ask the dude this question, okay? I'm not going to demonize Green for throwing a pick, but I am going to demonize him for why he threw it. Then what do you think?
I would agree with that. I think you're spot on with that. And I like the comment earlier with Will Crowder putting the ball where it needs to go. That's why I don't always look at the stats, because sometimes it's on the receivers and sometimes it's on the quarterback. And it looks like Will Crowder just knows where to put the ball. And Garrett Green is still just a tad hesitant. His decision-making isn't concrete yet. He still has those lapses to where he does make that bad decision. Now, am I saying that he's a bad quarterback or that he's, you know, not even close to being ready? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying he's very close. He just needs to close that gap to where he is confident with his decisions. So I think that would be his biggest issue is confidence. Once he gets that confidence to where, you know, he's confident in his decisions, then his decisions will be better, if that makes any sense.
Well, I'm going to make one more comment, and then we'll move on to the running backs. I think Garrett Green will be wearing a Kent State Golden Flashes jersey next year.
I hope not. I love all of our guys. They're playing for our team, so I love them.
Plus, they're throwing
in that
picks.
Aspect. But, yeah, I mean, honestly, I think this is Crowder's to lose as of right now out of the three. It's Crowder's to lose. And then JT Daniels, if he can come in and stay healthy, more than likely, I think he starts.
We'll talk more about that later. So let's move on to running backs. Lynn J. Dixon, a lot of buzz around him coming from Clemson, a lot of yards per carry, and then you had Mathis that we saw in some action last year. Jalen Anderson coming in as a true freshman, and then Johnson also in the fray yesterday. So what did you like about who you saw in that group?
I liked Anderson. Of course, I liked Mathis, but I think Johnson has more potential than I realized. But the big thing that I liked out of our running game was our offensive line. The biggest thing that needed to be fixed was getting that push, and it looked like that offensive line was getting like a 2-yard push. So those running backs were getting, you know, 2 yards of free space, and they were not getting that last year. They had to make that cut. They still had to make those cuts, but they could do it deeper in the pocket because it was pushed out. So I like the group. I like what I saw out of Anderson, Mathis, Johnson. Didn't see too much of Lynn J, but I think he'll be fine. Honestly, I think they're going to put Lynn J in the role of the red zone. That's what I got out of the spring game. I think he's going to be our red zone running back. But the thing that really got me excited was seeing the offensive line. They really got a push on a good defensive line. West Virginia has a good defensive line.
Let me ask you something. Graham Harrell, the new offensive coordinator from USC, is there any concern that we're going to take a step backwards as far as running the ball?
No. And I've been hearing that a lot because, you know, USC fans, they claim that, you know, oh, he's going to run an 80-20, 80 pass, 20 run. I don't think it's going to be like that. I do think it will favor the passing, but I'm thinking more like 60-40, so just a little bit over. And I'm okay with that as long as we're not taking, you know, these shots that don't need to be taken. As long as it fits the game and it looks like that's how he's going to call it, then I'm okay with it. As long as it's not, you know, two passes per, you know, set of downs, then we'll be fine.
I completely agree with you. Now, my one concern was the fact that I tend to read the boards of the teams that the coaches come from. As you had stated, a lot of the USC fans weren't extremely happy with Harrell, with the running game. But what really got me was one of the running backs for USC made the comment that they basically ran sweep right and sweep left and told the running backs, hit whatever hole comes open. Now, Watching the spring game, I didn't see that. I saw a couple of different things, and I think from a running standpoint, like you said, with the line looking as good as they did, if it wasn't for the fact that it was two-hand touch basically the whole time, we'd have racked up a lot of yards on that.
They don't have design runs. It's just like creative license with who has the ball.
Basically, that's how USC's running back was presenting things. But you know how that goes. You got that love-hate relationship, and anytime a coach leaves, there's always a lot of hate for them. Mm-hmm. Let's just look at our coaches that we've bashed over the years after they've gone.
Speaking of hate, before we move on to receivers, I want to talk about receivers next. Speaking of hate, I've been looking at your video comments recently. You've been getting some hate. What is going on with that?
That's one of the things that comes with YouTube. You definitely have to develop thick skin. You know, whenever you're first getting started, you want people to like you. You want them to comment and say nice things about you. But then you learn that you can't please everybody.
No.
So then you get to a point where you're like, all right, I'm just going to be myself. If they don't like it, they don't like it. You know, it is what it is. Well, so I really don't. It doesn't bother me. It really doesn't.
That's the thing. You wonder why, other than the fact that they're just trolls. If you don't like what Golden Blue Dude is saying, why are you watching the video? I remember one comment earlier this week. It said, do you make videos just to get views? Well, of course. That's why everyone makes videos. That is the stupidest comment. And of course, it was meant to be mean, but it was he was really showing, or she, whoever that person was, really showing what a lack of intelligence they really had, I think.
Well, that's what they're trying to come after you. They're trying to act like that you don't have any intelligence, and then it turns around, it makes it look like they don't.
And the other thing too, someone said none of these predictions have come true, and I'm like, it's speculative.
Yeah.
These are things that may happen. You know what I mean? It's not like
I think they take it the wrong way sometimes. They act like that I'm saying, you know, this is going to happen or it's already happened. Sometimes it is, and it does. So that comment was actually incorrect because I've actually had a lot of predictions come true, but some of it is opinionated.
I could see if you put like a timer on your video and it was counting right down from 10 minutes to zero, and the next 10 minutes, the Pac-12 and the Big 12 are going to merge. I could see right them doing it then, but you can't criticize someone for predicting something that will happen later, like much later.
And what I try to do is, it's not even necessarily a prediction. It's exploring different options because I truly believe that a big change is coming to college football. So, you know, one of the options is a conference will get picked apart. Another option is, you know, 40, 50, 60 teams are going to split off and create their own league. And then another option is two major leagues will merge. I don't know which one of those is going to happen, but something big will happen.
Yes, I completely agree. I mean, right now, the way things are going, there's no way the NCAA can continue on at the pace it's going without completely destroying sports altogether.
Mm-hmm.
If they haven't already.
Right.
Okay, so, dude, let's talk about receivers. Bryce Forwheaton and Caden Prather looked really, really well. Sam James, I think it's going to happen. I don't think it's arguable. He's going to be the number three receiver, but are you happy with that? Because I am not happy with that.
Happy? No. Hopeful? Yes. What I really liked as I looked at the stat sheet was we had four different receivers, not necessarily through the air, but they had catches over 30 yards. Four.
Right.
When was the last time we saw that? Probably in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So seeing in a spring game where four separate receivers has one catch, maybe not, you know, through the air, all of it through the air, over 30 yards, that's, you know, that's hope to me. That means we're going to be able to move the ball this year. Because the last 2 years, our defense has been spectacular. I mean, it was elite in 2020. And last year, despite losing the best safety in the nation, it was still pretty good. We were in football games that we should not have been in. So all we had to do was fix the offense.
Yeah, we held Oklahoma to 16. So I'm with you there.
And then you look at the bowl game. I mean, we held Minnesota to 18, but we still got spanked because we could only score six. And
right.
And when I did the prediction for that game, I warned West Virginia fans. I said, I hate to be a Debbie Downer, but I'm telling you right now, we're going to get spanked because of two things. Number one, their defense is better than ours. And number two, they're good at flipping the field, and we are not.
Right.
Well, the whole thing with me saying I'm not happy about Sam James being a number three, I know the stat sheet didn't reflect it, but I know Sam James had three drops that hit him in the hands, and mm-hmm. he was flagged for unsportsmanlike because when he scored his touchdown, he made it look like a dog whizzing on a fire hydrant.
You gotta stop doing that.
But it's the spring game. What are you doing? What are you doing? So I'm sure Neil Brown is wondering, man, who could I slip in that number three spot? Sam James has potential, but you can't win with potential. It's production. So whenever you score a touchdown, you're automatically pushing the extra point crew back 15 yards because you did something stupid like that. It doesn't contribute to a win. And I don't know why he would do that other than stupidity or selfishness, one or the other.
Now, I got a question for you. Fox had an extremely productive
spring
game.
Fox, what a shocker, surprise.
Yep.
Totally impressed. Now, do you feel like he can convert that from the spring game to actual game time?
Absolutely, 100%. In fact, after I saw what I saw, I said, this dude needs to have a scholarship before the start of the season, and he got it like a couple hours later after I said that. I think he can convert that into playing time. I think he will. I think this guy was something that maybe we've been overlooking. Maybe that's the best way I can put it.
Right.
Is he our number three guy is the question that we're all thinking. He can be. He can be. He's still got a little bit of work, but I saw some great stuff. You know, of course, we have Sam James. I know we're all rolling our eyes. Reese Smith, I think he would be a good slot receiver. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's a battle between Smith, Fox, and James.
What happened to Smith last year? Because he really performed well his first year, and then he had a great spring game, and then he kind of fell off the map last year for like at least 80% of the season before really coming back around.
They wrote him out of the game plan for whatever reason. I noticed that too. His targets went way down. I don't know if it was something in practice, if it was something he did on the field, but they, I don't know, maybe it was Deggy. Maybe Deggy just didn't like, you know, throwing the ball
That's
his
it.
Way.
That's my opinion, because with Reese Smith being a short slot receiver, his routes are quick. Deggy held onto the ball too long, and we're going to talk about the O-line later because they were, I think, in my mind, unjustly blamed for the sacks. But you can't hold on to the ball for 7 seconds and expect to, you know, complete a pass or not get sacked. He didn't even try to get out of the pocket. He just waited to get sacked. So I'm with that whole thing. It was on Deggy, and he's also to blame for the Lions things. So speaking of receivers, let's talk about the tight ends. Pelendi, the Colorado State transfer, he caught a pass yesterday. Where do the tight ends fit into Graham Harrell's system?
I think tight ends fit in with the misdirection if there's any type of weakness. What Graham Harrell likes to do is he likes to disguise any type of weakness. So right now, West Virginia's offense is what they call in evaluation mode. So Graham Harrell is looking over the offense. He's trying to figure out what our strengths are, what our weaknesses are. And tight ends help to kind of mask some of those weaknesses. Okay, let's say one of our weaknesses is the offensive line. Well, we can, you know, use a tight end as an extra blocker, or we can use a tight end to run those quick out routes to get the ball out of the quarterback's hands faster if he's not getting, you know, a lot of time. I don't think that Graham Harrell is going to use the tight ends a lot, but I do think he'll use them more than what we're used to seeing.
Okay, you talked about the offensive line play. Like I said earlier, I think Deggy had a lot to do with the sack situation. West Virginia's line, they return all 5 starters from last year, including Zach Frazier at center. How do you think they played yesterday? I know you've mentioned something about the push on the run, but as far as pass protection goes.
I liked what I saw. They were holding blocks much longer than what they were last year. And I actually want to go back to last year. People don't realize this. Once we got past the bye week, they got better and better every single week. So I expected this offensive line to be better than how people were making them out to be. I didn't think they were as bad as what people were saying. I thought a lot of it was on Deggy. But I also thought they actually did get better and better. And people forget that Doug Nestor had that big cast on his arm, and he was still one of the best offensive linemen that we had last year. Now he doesn't have that cast. He's going to be a beast on that line, and that's going to help with holding those blocks for pass protection. And we saw that yesterday. I think our pass protection is going to be much, much better this year. And having a quarterback that gets it out of his hands faster than what Deggy did, that – the quarterback is going to make the offensive line look even better. As good as they are, quarterback will make them look even better.
It's not just getting it out of his hands quicker. It's getting out of the pocket. You know, it seemed like so many times last year, you knew when he was going to get sacked because he would just clam up and just wait.
Right.
You know what I mean? He wasn't checking down. He was just looking straight ahead, waiting. He just froze there. And the other thing I told people when the camera would cut to shots of the sideline, I said, how many people were standing around Deggy? How many? None of them. He was not the leader of that team. And I really don't think they had a leader on the team, except for the Stills boys, but that's not offense. So they didn't really have a leader. It says a lot whenever you don't have your entire offense around the quarterback on the sideline when the defense is out there. He was alone. So I think JT Daniels brings not only better skill, it's leadership as well.
I would agree with that. And you hit the nail on the head. I think Daggy's biggest issue was he got locked on to his first read way too long. Did he make progressions? Yes, but they were way too late. He would stay locked on to that first receiver. Then he'd come down to his second progression, and we're talking 3 seconds in the pocket by then. You can't do that.
Right. Okay, so that sums up the offense. Let's move to defense. The defensive line, Stills is back. Messidor is not. And I know you had a video recently about Jamal Adai and his role in Messidor leaving. But talk about what you saw as far as the defensive line goes. I was pretty impressed.
Yeah, I was impressed too. I know that losing Messidor is going to hurt somewhat, but I think our defensive line was so stacked that it's not going to matter all that much. It might hurt us a little bit with depth, but besides that, we're still going to have one of the best defensive lines in the Big 12, right up there with Baylor and Oklahoma State.
Yep, we're going to reach out and bite somebody. I'm telling you, the defensive line is being overlooked because the secondary and the linebacker core are questionable. The D-line's being overlooked.
Well, that's one thing that Neil Brown pointed out that I tried to talk about in one of my videos is after these spring games, we're going to see a lot of high-caliber athletes enter the transfer portal. West Virginia's not done with the transfer portal. I know JT Daniels stole the news, and that was a big get. But there's still some big athletes out there that West Virginia is going to go after, and we're going to land one here and one there. And I'm actually hearing about a linebacker out of Miami that West Virginia was his second choice out of high school and that he's probably going to come to West Virginia. Name escapes me off the top of my head, but it's a linebacker out of Miami.
We're talking with Golden Blue Dude. You still have your sunglasses on, right?
I do.
Excellent. You scared me here for a minute. I think Jerry's got a question.
Now, like you just said, the transfer portal we're not done with. You've seen right after all these spring games, like you said, several athletes that were four-star athletes at other colleges and universities starting to jump into the transfer portal already. So, yes, we're going to have an opportunity to grab some really good players. Do you think that we're going to lose any more after this spring game? And if so, who do you think we might lose?
That's a good question. If I had to guess, I don't think like any starters. I think we're good with our starters, but I think our quarterback room is a little too crowded, and it'll be between Garrett Green. See, I had it between Will Crowder and Garrett Green. Well, after the spring game, I think it's going to be Garrett Green, and I hate to see him go. But he's going to want to play at a place where he knows he's going to get some reps, and I'm not sure if West Virginia is the place for him.
Right.
I don't think it is. So let's talk about the linebacker core. We got some transfers coming in. We got Koba and Jasir Cox. Talk about some of the other linebackers that we may have not heard, just because when you watch the spring game or when you listen to it, they don't really point out linebacker play. You hear a lot of the secondary players because they're defending passes, but talk about some of the linebackers that we may not be affiliated with.
Yeah, you mentioned Koba. He's going to be a big one. And Marcus Floyd, I know he's more of a hybrid linebacker. He's going to play Bandit in that spur. But, man, that dude has he's got some speed, and he's got the eyes to read the quarterback. He made an interception yesterday. I'm really excited about Marcus Floyd, and I know he was hyped coming in as an All-American, but he might be better than the hype that preceded him. I really, really like Marcus Floyd. I think he's going to be good with coverage and helping with those cornerbacks. And I like our cornerback situation as well. A lot of people were kind of flipping out about Nick Troy Fortune entering the transfer portal and Daryl Porter Jr. entering the transfer portal, but Charles Woods – man, that dude is a great cornerback, and we're going to see what Mumu and Jacoby Spells can do. I think they'll they'll be in a big time battle for that other spot.
Now, do you feel like that's really been Neil Brown's strong point, is the recruitment of the defensive players? Because it seems like even with the turnover we've had, it's just the next man up.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's what I've been trying to push on my channel as well. Because you look from 2020 to 2021, we lost Tyke Smith, and our defense was, it wasn't elite like it was in 2020, but it didn't have that big letdown that everybody thought was going to happen. And this year's defense could actually be better than last year's defense, despite the losses. And it's because of how he recruits. Eric Burks, he looked really, really good as well. So all these new faces looked good yesterday. And that's what makes me have hope in the future of West Virginia. He's recruiting at a high level, and the players that he recruits buys into the system. And that's exactly why when Mezidor announced that he was entering the transfer portal, Neil Brown was emotional about it. That was the first player recruited by Neil Brown that entered the transfer portal. Everybody else was a Holgorsen recruit.
Okay.
Holgorsen.
I didn't even realize that.
Neil Brown's a guy that's in there cleaning house. And Holgorsen was a guy that was being banned from casinos because he was too drunk and making a scene. So I think we're in the right direction there. So yeah. We talked about the linebackers and the secondary a little bit. As far as secondary goes, who's going to lead this group? I know you mentioned Mumu Ben Wahad, but who do you think is going to lead the group?
It could be Marcus Floyd, seriously, or Charles Woods. I would go between the two, Charles Woods, the quarterback, and Marcus Floyd, the hybrid. Marcus Floyd, I know he's a new face, but he's actually a veteran in college football. So I would pick between Charles Woods and Marcus Floyd.
Okay. Now, as far as special teams, we still have Malashevitz on the roster. That doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be our return man. But let's talk about kickers and punters. The kicker that we had for years was Evan Staley. He was good until he was injured, and then he wasn't. Now, this Danny King, now this is something you may not know, but I've been doing high school football for 20 years, and I do the high school Danny King came from. You talk about a kid who could kick. Almost every single kickoff was in the end zone, except for when he was kicking onsides, okay? Now, this team that he played for, they won, what was it, Jerry? 6 championships in 10 years, yeah. Wow. And they were scoring 50 plus a game. So there was a lot of kickoffs. He made every extra point his junior season. And then he was a good punter too. He did the Corn Blue Camp in Canton, Ohio at the Hall of Fame. And he was the winner there with a 60 yarder. He kicked the 53 yard field goal Saturday that was wide left, but the distance was there. So I think that we're going to have, now think about this too. He was redshirted already. With the COVID season, he's got 4 years of eligibility. I think we're going to have the most consistent kicker since McAfee and Lambert, I think.
That was my favorite part of going to a game, was watching the McAfee kick the field goal and then the SpongeBob coming up on the big screen.
I know.
Good one, Patrick.
Yes, I'm telling you, yep. Danny King is going to be that guy. He's going to be the guy.
It's funny you said that, because when I saw that, even though it didn't go through, I was like, my gosh, we haven't had a guy that had that kind of leg. I know you mentioned Lambert, but my mind went immediately to McAfee. I'm like, man, that dude's got a leg.
Yeah. Now, Danny King has the high school, the Fort Hill High School record, 53 yards, and it was in the mud up at Southern Garrett High School in Oakland, Maryland. So this kid has a bright, bright future, probably not just on Saturdays, but Sundays as well. So that wraps up all of that. Now, I'll tell you what we're going to do now, Golden Blue Dude. We're going to do a little Q&A. We're going to ask you some questions, and we're going to rely on your expertise and knowledge to get some predictions fulfilled up front. Okay, here we go. So, true or false? Here we go. Nico Markiel will back up Daniels.
True eventually, though.
Okay. Lynn J. Dixon will rush for 1,000 yards.
True.
JT Daniels will stay healthy all season.
Oh, that's tough. I'm going to say true out of optimism.
Okay, I said false.
I like it. See, we're on the same pattern
here. I said false. And Jerry said false for Markiel backing up Daniels. He knew. I wrote these before the game, and I think he knew that Crowder was going to shine in that spring game and impress everyone. Okay, next one. True or false? Daniels will come back next year.
False.
Okay. Neil Brown will have his best year in Morgantown in 2022.
True.
All right.
True.
Prather will have better numbers than Ford Wheaton this year.
True. I've been saying that for a while. Absolutely true.
I think so too, man. You look at his pedigree, where he came from, St. Francis out of Baltimore. They are top-notch. What a top-notch program. Okay. Mountaineers will be 3-0 out of conference.
True.
Okay.
There we go. That's what I'm talking about.
Zach Frazier will be a Remington Award finalist.
True.
All right. More players will transfer to WVU solely because of JT Daniels.
True. Absolutely. Yes, that will be a trickle effect.
All right. WVU defense will lead the Big 12 in sacks.
False.
All right, me too. A Mountaineer gets flagged for horns down in Austin.
True and true.
I had true.
See, I put false because I got a feeling Neil Brown's going to give him like the fifth degree before they ever step foot
did
on that field.
Did you see what Sam James
did?
Sam James is going to get kicked off the team if he keeps it up.
Okay.
I mean, it's just that simple.
All right.
Somebody's going to slip up, and even if they have a long speech, somebody's going to slip up. It's going to happen.
All righty. Just a few left here. Mountaineers beat Oklahoma in Morgantown.
True.
Yes.
Wow. Well, we almost did it last year.
Two possessions, 10 points.
I like it. I like it. Secondary and linebacker units finish better than preseason rank.
Oh, yeah. Yes, definitely.
Okay.
True.
Okay, we're going to get in some really... what's the word I'm looking for?
Traitors.
Here?
We're going to talk about the traitors. I'm going to say it flat out.
I was going to say some really subjective questions, but let's see.
Okay.
Texas and Oklahoma will struggle in the SEC.
Texas, yes. Oklahoma, no.
Okay. Texas A&M will leave the SEC.
Man.
See, that's a tough one.
The money could keep them, but Texas could make them leave.
That's why I asked that question.
They could jump back to the Big 12 just to get away from Texas.
With Nebraska, maybe.
I would say, yeah. If that's going to happen, they would go to the Big 12 and bring Nebraska and probably try to convince Missouri as well.
I'm with you there. Last one. WVU will be in a different conference in 5 years.
True.
Okay.
Now, I want to say this real quick because we talked about OU and Texas joining the SEC, about the struggles and stuff. I think that Oklahoma is going to struggle. I think Lincoln Riley has seen the writing on the wall. Lincoln Riley did great with Oklahoma with Bob Stoops' kids. Once Bob Stoops' kids start graduating, last year was a prime example of Lincoln Riley's recruits are not as good as what Bob Stoops' were.
Define struggle. Record.
They'll still have a winning record, but they're not going to be in the top three.
So you're saying 8-4 struggling?
Yes.
Okay.
So Texas A&M struggling.
Yes.
The reason I would slightly disagree with that is because Brent Venables has more defensive mind, and that's the specialty in the SEC. So I understand what you're saying, but I would go more towards probably capable of having 10-win seasons, maybe not win the division every year, win it maybe every, I don't know, 3-4 years, but, you know, sustain 10-win seasons in the SEC.
I can respect that. Definitely respect that.
Okay, so let's move on to the next segment. It is plus or minus, okay?
Okay.
JT Daniels passes for 3,000 yards.
Plus.
Minus.
If he stays healthy.
Right. I'm with you there. Daniels throws 30 touchdowns.
Plus.
All right.
He can go over 40.
Okay, now this one. Some of these I tried to nail as far as the line, okay? Right. Dixon rushes for 8 touchdowns.
Oh, hold on. Well, he's going to be the red zone primarily, so I would say yeah.
All right. Plus. Okay.
Yeah.
Offensive line gives up 36 sacks.
No, false.
Okay. Defense.
Minus.
Right. Defense records 36 sacks.
Mm.
Now, you can say
I'm trying to think of the offensive lines we're going up against.
Right.
How many did you say?
36.
It's going to be close, but I'll say minus.
Okay. Defense will take away 8 interceptions.
Way plus.
Okay. Good deal. I like to hear that. Okay. Mountaineer Field at Mile and Pushkar Stadium, 50,000 fans average attendance.
Plus.
Okay. 2020.
That all depends on record, and I think our record's going to be a good one this year.
I agree. I think we're being overlooked by a lot of fans. Okay. 2023 recruiting ranked 30th.
Plus. Right now, we're top 20, I think. Almost top 10.
Okay. Yep. Well, it doesn't really necessarily how you start. It's how you finish. So
yes, that's true.
Okay.
I like the start that we have. This is one of the best starts we've had in quite some time.
So far, we've agreed with a good bit of this stuff. So far. Okay. So final Big 12 rank, 4th.
Plus.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So what are you thinking? Third?
Third.
Okay. Me too. W wins 8 games.
Plus.
Plus. Okay. I said even. It could be 9-3.
Yeah, I like 9-3 with an outside shot of 10-2.
Right. I'm saying we should not in any multiverse do worse than 8-4.
I agree with that. Yeah.
What's the two games you think that we more than likely should lose?
I don't like the road trip to Oklahoma State at the end of the year.
I hate that.
I think we lose that. And then it's probably a split between the road trip to Ames, just because of how difficult that is, and then the home game against Baylor. I would lean more towards the road trip to Ames because I think we're good enough to beat Baylor in Morgantown this year.
You're not worried about the Pitt game at all?
I'm not. I was, but I'm not now.
All right. I like to hear that.
I'll tell you, that's what a lot of blowback has been in his confidence.
I want to be at that game, too.
You're going into the lion's den.
I am, and believe it or not, I'm actually going with one of my Pitt subscribers, and we have a bet.
Yes.
So if somehow Pitt were to able to pull off a miracle and beat West Virginia, I have to wear a Pitt jersey for one of my episodes.
Oh.
And put it out there. I got to do a video on it.
I don't know if I can watch your video after that. I just don't know if I can do it.
Well, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen, so you don't have to worry about that.
Hey, do the video, and if let's say by chance we do lose that one, all you got to do is blur out the jersey.
Yeah, pixelate it.
You literally get to wear it, but you don't have to advertise it.
Yes, you're holding up your end of the bargain, but you didn't say that you couldn't do that.
That's true. We didn't get technical about it.
I like
but
that.
But on the flip side, I don't know how he's going to get around this. On the flip side, when West Virginia beats Pitt, he has to sing Country Roads with his Pitt gear on, and I get to record it. In other words, you don't get to record it on his phone to where he gets to edit it or anything like that. I get to record it on mine.
Maybe he could get around it by singing in Spanish, maybe? Sign language? Not
well,
sure.
he's in La La Land, so I'm sure he's not brushing up on his Spanish right now.
I got to ask you real quickly here, since you're going to the game in Pittsburgh. How much were the tickets? $5, $10? I know that they don't charge much to show the Pop Warner team.
I got mine free in a box of tricks.
Yeah, actually, I'm a guest, so they were free for me.
Nice. Well, they were probably free for whoever gave them to you.
Probably. Yeah, that's what I would guess.
All right, Golden Blue Dude, is there anything you'd like to add? We really appreciate you coming on to the podcast and talking some West Virginia football. It's April. It's a holdover. You know, we have to wait months more before we see the backyard brawl September 1st, but this is a nice holdover.
Well, there's one thing that I want to say before I get out of here. The reason that I started this YouTube channel is because I saw all these others, Georgia, Oklahoma, Miami, Ohio State, whatever the case may be, they had these YouTube fan base channels with, 10,000, 20,000, 30,000. So then I looked up West Virginia, and we were not represented. Ever since I started my channel, I'm starting to see more West Virginia channels with 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 subscribers. So the whole point of starting this channel was to get West Virginia eyeballs, because this fan base deserves to be represented. People need to know how big we are and how passionate we are. So I'm thrilled that other West Virginia fans have done the same thing, and we're starting to show our numbers.
That is one of the most inspirational speeches, except for the Owen Schmidt Fiesta Bowl speech.
Yes.
And of course,
I have the Leave No Doubt shirt, by the way. I have the Leave No Doubt shirt.
Yes, Bill Stewart's speech. That was awesome. Our football broadcast, that speech was our lead in to the game.
That Absolutely. Speech.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I'll tell you, you know, you're up to 6,000 subs now, and, you know, we wanted to put you on to help get you some exposure. Not sure if you know anything about us at all, but we've been downloaded in 43 states and 18 countries now. So
that is awesome.
We're helping to get you out there. It's not just a WVU thing. It's a West Virginia thing.
Exactly.
So
there you go.
And this was Jerry's idea. This whole podcast was his idea. You know, he was sick. He's not even a native. He's from Texas. I'm from Maryland, but we both live here. And we were sick, and I didn't understand the whole negative attachment to the state.
Yeah, we wanted to break stereotypes.
Because we know a lot of people from PA, we know a lot from Maryland, and we heard them like, are you kidding me? Like, it's right across the river from me. It's not that much more cosmopolitan across the bridge. So I just didn't understand it. So, you know, when he said, hey, let's do this podcast, I'm like, yes, we are going to do that because we have a voice now. We can go Absolutely. Worldwide. So we're on 5 continents. You know, we're still waiting for Antarctica and Africa. We're getting there.
I hear you.
We're getting there.
You'll get them. You'll get them.
Yes, we will. So I think it's a two-way street for you and us. You know, we're giving you some exposure. You're giving us some, too, to the WU fan base and the Golden Blue fan base. We appreciate your time. We've been talking with the Golden Blue Dude. Anything to add? Anything else?
Just to add on what you just said, the stigma around the West Virginia fan base, that was one of the biggest things that I ran into with my YouTube channel. But once people get past that initial stigma that's attached, they see that there's something to this. So everybody needs to check out all the West Virginia channels out there, not just mine.
I'll tell you one thing that I learned. The negative view of us isn't as expanded as I thought it was. Here's the funny thing, and it's ironic. We are looked down upon in areas that are looked down upon.
Yes.
Do you understand that? I mean, that
I do.
Makes
I do.
No sense to me. So people in LA, they don't even know, they've never heard of a West Virginia joke. But people like in
Pennsylvania, Maryland,
South
Virginia.
Carolina, I'm sure you've
Ohio.
Heard of.
Yes. Ohio is where you're going to hear the good ones.
They're our neighbors. Good Lord. All right, so it's been the Golden Blue Dude. Good stuff. Thank you, my friend. And check out his YouTube channel. Hopefully he ran this one on there.
I'm going to have you guys on as well.
Oh, awesome.
We look forward to it.
I wanted to tell you one more thing. I love the intro. You're really animated at first, and then you're looking into the camera, sliding the sunglasses down. I love it.
The thought process was get ready. Get ready.
I like it. I like it. And if you need help with the logo, you let us know.
I will, man.
We got
I
the hookup. We got the hookup for
I
you.
I got you.
You're doing a great job. You're doing a great job representing our state, representing our favorite university, and just keep up that great work, bud.
That's all I want to do. That is all I want to do right there.
Okay, so that was Golden Blue Dude. We really appreciate his time. And check out, seriously, guys, check out his YouTube channel. Very, very entertaining. And it's a daily thing. I love it.
We'll even make, if you want to read into the comments section or the description of this podcast, we will have his YouTube channel with the link going directly to it so that you can go from our podcast directly to his YouTube.
Yep.
And so you can follow along him.
All right. In our next episode, we're going to talk about the very first Mother's Day. It was right here in the state of West Virginia in Grafton. Once again, our next episode, the very first Mother's Day. Until then, I'm James.
And I'm Jerry.
You've been listening to West Virginia Talk, a J&J production.